We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Man, those two really hate each other. That feud's like Biggie Tupac level. Maybe even Morgan Freeman, Shailene Woodley level.
With Dusty Hera.
I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style.
And the man who accepted impermissible teriyaki benefits as a college All-American, Cam Cleland.
Why does anybody in the world ever eat anything but breakfast food?
People are idiots, Ron.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome in. 8:03 on your Thursday morning. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland, with you this beautiful morning. Sun is out. Well, there's people out fishing on the river here.
I thought you couldn't fish.
You can't?
You can't fish? Looks like you can. I don't know. Wait. I didn't know the rules were.
Wait, is this something new?
No, I thought fishing, you couldn't fish.
I saw something about it being restricted. I don't know why, but I saw something that they, because I, there was a post online.
I saw something.
No, there was a post online where it was like a reader's opinion writing into like the Oregonian or something about why are people able to golf but not fish.
That's so a great question.
I think that's a thing that's happening. Perhaps.
Wait, what?
If it's one person on a boat, which I see one guy and he's got his trolling motor up and he's just chilling out there fishing.
Yeah,
he's all by himself. He's in the middle of the river.
A couple segments ago, I told Buck, I go, is that guy's boat sinking? Because he was like in this tiny boat, you big fella, in the back of his boat, and he had his little motor on the back, and he was trolling along. It looked like he was taking on water. I thought we were going to have to send Buck out to do a rescue out on the beautiful Willamette, because we were doing a segment.
Oh, yeah, because you guys were in the middle of a segment.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't going to be able to do it. Are you a strong swimmer, Brian?
I'm an okay swimmer. I mean, I was never on like swim team, but I can hold my own in open water.
Okay, you hold your own.
Are you a good strong swimmer?
I was lifeguard certified.
Well, like I'm not going to beat anyone in a race, but I can stay afloat for a very long time.
You had to tread water for 15 minutes. You had to do all that stuff. I did that when I was in 7th grade.
Yeah, but are you a strong swimmer?
Strong swimmer? I'm heavy. So do I sink? Probably, but I can swim.
I'm not a strong swimmer.
When we would train and in college. All our Sundays, when we'd come in after games, we'd do swim workouts. Those would be
the water work.
Yeah, we'd do swim workouts, and I'd always win all the swim races.
The text line is telling us you cannot fish in Washington, but you can fish in Oregon right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Why?
So where's the delineation line in the Columbia River? Those fishermen that are out there.
I think that sign right in the middle of the bridge that says, welcome to Oregon. It's halfway.
Is that the line?
It's a halfway
skis. I haven't been out on the river fishing, and I haven't had that opportunity yet, which is, it's so embarrassing.
Just stay close to the Oregon border, and you'll be fine. You know, just stay on that side of the river.
Well, I don't have a boat anymore.
Now people say you cannot be fishing.
Well, I'm looking at two boats right now, and I'm looking right at them, and they are fishing right here in the Willamette.
They could just be flying in the face of Johnny Law, though. We don't know.
It could be.
Well, I don't get it, especially with the golf thing. Like, why is it okay to golf and not okay to fish?
Someone on the text line mentioned the inability to regulate it, that basically you wouldn't be able to have fish and game people out there because they're not going to work.
And then you have state parks that are closed up, like Hag Lake.
Parks make sense. Yeah, parks make sense.
Huh. But you can just like go and throw a line in on the banks of the river, huh?
These are all things that are.
Should we have a 1080 the fan social distancing fishing derby?
I don't know. I mean, fishing's pretty solitary if you want to.
Right.
You like sit out there in a paddle boat and just chill out.
With golf, relax. It's like I can stay within 6 feet of somebody. But with fishing, it's like you can stay within 6 miles of somebody fishing.
Yeah.
You know, like you could go a full day and not even see another person. All right. Well, if the Columbia is closed, come on down to the Willamette. We'll take you. Fact. Let's do it. You want some bells?
Yeah,
I do. We'll give you some bells. Let's get him some bells.
Give me some damn bells.
I wasn't ready. I was on the drops pages.
Well, I mean.
Anti-producing like there's no tomorrow today.
You didn't see this coming?
I should have. I was too interested in fishing.
Kicker!
It's the Steeler!
Working construction rip at 6.
Don't talk to me, alright? Knock it off! You like that? You like that?
Alright, it's...
Omaha!
It's time for our NFL Rapid Fire. Do it every Thursday at this time. NFL, throw in your questions at 55305. That's the fan text line. Well, I'm going to go ahead and just read this text.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Is it good?
Yeah.
You wouldn't read it if it wasn't good.
Nope. It says, good morning, baby. I got up early this morning and hopefully got everything we needed from Safeway. I think we're good to go. I can't think of anything else.
55305. Text us what you text. Thanks, to your babe. Wife.
And then it gives a phone number.
Feels
and
great,
a,
baby. Is that, a, was that,
and
was
a Zoom
was that Jimmy great, Garoppolo? Schedule.
Feels great, baby.
Yeah, we've got...
Pet names for your wife, baby?
Good morning, baby.
Babe?
Hey. Oh, hey. So.
Jimmy Garoppolo texting into the show.
Send your questions in at 55305. Okay. All right. Alden Smith, 1 year, $3 million deal. Now, I said I didn't think Antonio Brown would be back in the NFL this season. But when Alden Smith gets chances, anybody could get another chance. I still don't think that it happens this year, but I will ask you this question about Antonio Brown. Will he be a member of the Baltimore Ravens after working out with Lamar Jackson in Hollywood Brown?
Antonio Brown, if he's going to have a job, he's going to have a job. They brought in Steve Smith. I mean, they like those fiery... tough guy receivers, and Antonio Brown is still a good play. At 31 years old, it's pretty incredible. He's 31. He can still play. He's going to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be scary.
Frank Reich said that he preferred Philip Rivers over Tom Brady. Was he lying?
I don't think so. I think that Frank Reich is very transparent and honest, and I think that he likes it because... he knows that Tom Brady brings a lot of distraction with him. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the Indianapolis Colts want that. And first of all, there's no way Tom Brady would have ever been an Indianapolis Colt with what they did for him with the Deflategate. That's insane. No. That's nuts. That's crazy. Wasn't going to happen. So, of course, he's going to say it's Philip Rivers, who comes with a lot less distraction. He just brings 9 kids with him, and he brings a fire.
20 interceptions.
Wait, yeah. Well, we don't know. With a different system, anti-Lynn system, this is a different system. Completely different system. And it's indoors, which means you're just going to have a lot more longevity with your arm. 8 games inside.
Well, the AFC West wasn't exactly a poor weather division.
You go to Denver.
Once.
Go to Kansas City.
Once.
Still.
You know.
Miserable.
But then you're in LA for 8, Oakland for 1.
I know.
I mean, over half your games are in nice places. Okay. Let's get to the question. Buck brought this up. The LA Chargers, Anthony Lynn, said that Cam Newton's going to be a good quarterback somewhere. Mm-hmm. Who'd you rather have? Rank them in this order. Justin Herbert, Tyrod Taylor, Cam Newton.
I think you need to qualify if we're talking just next season or if we're talking like for a couple years, right?
Just next season.
I'd rather have an NFL MVP, Cam Newton.
It seems pretty simple.
I think it's one of the easiest decisions ever.
But Lynn may go in another direction and either go with Tyrod Taylor or a drafted QB.
Well, I will say this as well. I think that Cam Newton, you could do on a two-year deal with him. Hey, if you earn it, we'll prove it. Let's go. Low risk. We'll go and we'll bring you back. But then also draft Justin Herbert and stash him because Justin Herbert said it himself. Remember when he got ripped for this? Saying, it wouldn't be the worst thing if I sat for a year.
I still think it'd be awesome if he got drafted by Indy and sat for a year behind Phil Rivers and then took over.
Call me nuts, guys. I don't think this sitting behind people is the way it works anymore. I don't think it is. I think guys got to come in and play and play immediately. You don't have the kind of time. Coaches don't have the patience. Teammates don't have the patience to go through a suck year. They don't like it. Nobody likes to deal with it. Ownership doesn't like it. If they're going to invest a top 10 pick, just ask Daniel Jones, man.
Well, if
he took an incumbent
it,
Eli and just took him off the board and made him retire.
But they are reeling.
Well, I know they're reeling, but all teams are reeling.
It depends on the stability of your franchise.
Well, that's the thing. A team that drafts a quarterback high is doing so because they don't have a good quarterback. If they don't have a good quarterback, they're not winning games, and everyone in those front offices is feeling pressure.
And if the Chargers do draft a quarterback,
he will start because
Anthony Lynn cannot afford not to. Neither can Tom Telesco.
We've never seen in the history of this game, or maybe, okay, I'm going to reach out on this one. I got to do some digging.
Do it.
We have not seen ever a free agent sign that is a former MVP or a former legitimate big time Super Bowl starter and a first top 10 pick shown up in the same year and said, oh, this is good for the quarterback room. It's never happened. It's never happened. Now I'm talking free agent signing, with Cam Newton's status.
Okay.
Two brand new quarterbacks showing up in the same room. And we're talking about a top 10 pick and a stud quarterback. Now, call it with his injuries. I can't ever seen that ever. Never. We've seen incumbents be in there, and then they draft their replacement, like what Brett Favre happened with Aaron Rodgers. But not when two guys are showing up like this in the same room at the same time. It's never happened.
Would it be Peyton and Osweiler? Did they get there the same time?
Peyton and Osweiler. Where?
Denver.
No. God, no.
I think he'd already been
he'd
there.
He'd gone.
Was it Paxton Lynch then? Because didn't they draft a guy the same
Osweiler
year?
Osweiler got dealt to Houston, and then that's what happened.
Well, yeah, I know, but then they drafted Paxton Lynch, I believe, in the first or second round?
No.
When was Paxton Lynch drafted?
One of John Elway's great
I'm just
wins.
Trying to think yeah, if yeah. it's ever happened, but we have never... The problem with it is that we've never seen...
A free agent.
These guys get like away this. From their team.
It doesn't like happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Franchise
at all.
Quarterbacks don't get away. Like that's what I'm saying. This is such uncharted territory. We've never seen in the NFL the amount of talent. You're seeing two former starters right now on the market, first overall picks, and that never happened. That just doesn't happen.
Ooh. Text please saying. Patrick Mahomes with Alex Smith. But he didn't come in that year.
No, Alex Smith was already
He'd
an incumbent.
He'd been there for 2 years.
He had already been there. We're talking about two guys showing up at the same time. One in
talking
free
about
agency.
Signing a free agent and drafting a quarterback.
And because drafting a quarterback teams, at the same time.
Teams draft quarterbacks all the time. Jimmy Garoppolo, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Deshaun Watson.
It would Gardner Minshew. That's one right there. They signed Nick Foles, and then Minshew took the job and kept it. I mean, he didn't win it
but
out.
They didn't
but he
they
wasn't
didn't
a first
a high,
top 10
right,
pick.
Yeah, he wasn't a high pick.
Yeah.
It'd be equivalent to having Joe Montana be a free agent at year like 8 and then drafting Steve Young and then bringing them both in.
Kurt Warner might be the closest one with Eli from Deal.
Kurt Warner, what do you mean?
When Kurt Warner went to the Giants, remember
the
that?
Giants.
Free agent-wise, Kurt Warner at the time. And
but
then
I think Eli was already there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He wasn't drafted then.
Eli was drafted in 2002. It was
2004 was the year that Kurt Warner went.
Because Kurt left the year after I got... Kurt was with us. I was there with him in 2003. Then he went to the Giants immediately in 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I'm looking this up right now.
That might be one.
He was drafted in 2004, so that is it. Deal, yeah. Way to go.
Well done. Well
way to done. Go, Deal. Smart guy, Deal. So that would be it. They signed Kurt Warner, and then Eli Manning came in and said, nope. And then...
Yeah, but he didn't play much. If I remember, Kurt Warner played most of that season, and then Eli took over.
Let me look at his stats. I'll tell you.
And then, yeah.
2004, Kurt Warner started 10 games.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes against what you're talking about then, that, you know, they'll give it to the incumbent guy and then let the young guy come in at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, but right now, I think the league has changed, oh, in, I don't know, 16 years.
It has, and it's a good call by Deal, because that's a tough one to remember, but it's legit, because that's a two-time, that's a Super Bowl MVP and an NFL MVP.
Word.
That was a free agent. That just didn't happen. That was bonkers. I went through that tremendously. What Mike Martz did to Kurt Warner was an absolute shame.
That's true. All right. 55305, that is a fan text sign. If you have any questions for NFL rapid fire, send them our way. I've got another one quarterback related based on that stat that we brought up. The top quarterback selected in the drafts from 2010 through 2015 are no longer starters. Whomst is the best? We'll give you the list next. Dusty and Cam on The Fan. All right, NFL Rapido Fire continuing. Send your questions in at 55305. Did Warner get it done to him again with Leinart? Somebody else.
Well, said, he wasn't a free agent when they drafted Matt Leinart. He wasn't on the Cardinals roster.
I thought he got. Well, no, he got cut in 2004, and then in 2005 would be Matt Leinart's draft. He got released by the.
He was in Super Bowl 2008 versus the Steelers.
And then Matt, well, yeah. So he played from 2005 through like 2010 with the
Kurt Warner.
With the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow. And he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Did it happen with the Iowa Barnstormers as well? No, 2006 is when they drafted Matt Leinart. Wow. 10th overall pick. They used it on Leinart. Aight then. Okay. This text. Would the Broncos have the most dominant pass rush in the NFL if they picked up Jadeveon Clowney?
No, because that would still be reserved for San Francisco.
You'd have Von Miller.
I think Von Miller is just kind of not just falling off the table a little bit, but really tell me how much Von Miller has done the last few years.
You would have.
I mean, he doesn't have the kind of help he used to.
But then the help would be there.
Yeah.
You'd have Von Miller, Jadeveon Clowney. Remember, they lost Derek Wolfe, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Purcell, Jarrell Casey, Shelby Harris. No, I still think that the Niners, I'm with you. I think the Niners D-line is better. Heck, with DeForest Buckner, you've got something brewing in Indy, too. Anywho's. So I'm going to go no on that one, but that's a good question. Keep your questions coming in. 55305. Best quarterback of this group. From 2010 through 2015, the top quarterback drafted in each of those drafts is no longer a starter. Give me a ranking. These are the quarterbacks as they went out. Sam Bradford, Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, E.J. Manuel, Blake Bortles, Jameis Winston.
Ranking dead last. Blake Bortles. E.J. Manuel.
Working construction, ripping cigs.
Then I want to go Jameis Winston. Sam Bradford. Ish. Newton Luck.
Newton Luck. I'm going number one Luck, number two Cam, number three Sam, number four Jameis, number five Bortles, number six EJ. I mean, we splitting hairs there between Bortles and EJ.
Well, EJ Manning went to a playoff game too.
Well,
I know. We are splitting. We're probably splitting hairs.
But Bortles won it.
I know. Yeah, I know. It was there in the same game. How about that?
And then Bortles won another one.
He did.
How about that? Take that for data. So there we hit. Hoosies there. Okay. Again, continuing in the National Football League. Are you more confident in pro prospects here? Tua Tagovailoa's being healthy or Justin Herbert's inconsistencies being remedied in the NFL? Remember, Tua has not been healthy since he was junior.
He really hasn't.
Herbert, if you're a Pac-12 fan, you know it's been well documented. Herbert has had inconsistencies.
He's had some
issues.
Inconsistencies. And you know who I've leaned on just recently to do a lot of breakdown? Of course, Dan Orlovsky has been very good. He's done an excellent job of really giving film study and showing inefficiencies, deficiencies, and all the things that... The only thing that I've heard really, truthfully, about Tua Tagovailoa is his injury issues. And then also I listened to Joel Klatt break down and do his analysis of the quarterbacks. And friend of the show, Joel Klatt.
Hey, can we get him on? Call him up.
Yeah.
Let's have Joel on.
Yeah. We'll see. Well, yeah.
I'd love to have Joel
give him a shout and see how he's doing, especially before the draft, because he does a lot of draft work.
Hells yeah.
Playmaking ability is the only thing that I think that can separate right now. And I think Tua just has a little bit more playmaking ability than Justin Herbert does. And it's, if I'm splitting hairs, and that's what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to go, who has more upside in your opinion? And according to these guys and actually watching film and looking at all that, the deciding factor for me was just that extra oomph of playmaking ability that Tua had. And so that's why I would go with there. It's very close to each other. Very close.
You know what's fascinating about this? Is that Herbert, what Pac-12 championship game and the Rose Bowl, they let him loose and they run. They let him run, right?
Yeah.
It felt like Herbert, early in his career, he had that playmaking ability, but what happened to him?
Got hurt.
It just like Tua did.
Yeah.
But then we sat there and then Willie Taggart, Marcus Arroyo came in and it felt like Justin Herbert was quote-unquote neutered by the offense
they pulled the reins on him.
Because they needed him healthy.
Yeah.
And is the thing that you sit there and you go, they kind of have the same question mark. Like, Herbert has playmaking ability, but he'll get hurt just like Tua's gotten hurt. That's fascinating
But realistically, if you talk and look at the best analysts, those that are really looking at quarterback play, Tua is one of those generational, potentially has that kind of talent. And not to say that Justin doesn't. He just, and everybody's splitting hairs. We're trying to do it. They're trying to do it. They're both very, very good quarterbacks. And I hope that they have great careers. Just like anybody that gets drafted at that level, you're risking a top 10 pick, but these guys have incredible talent. They just do.
All right. Let's see here. We got a question coming in for rapid fire on the text line. Michael in G-Town asks, he says, I'm hoping my lowly Browns drop Odell Beckham, but can they get a first? All right, how about we do this? Assign what round pick you would give up for Odell Beckham if you were a general manager.
Second.
I think I'm probably there. Second or third.
Second or third, yeah. Especially considering how many wide receivers are in this draft. I mean, there's no guarantee you're going to get the next Odell Beckham, but there is a ton of talent in this
guys,
draft.
Guys, if I'm picking anywhere from 25 to 32, I'll give up a first rounder.
Okay. Hey.
But that's my number is at 25. Because once Patriots. I get to that late, once I get in that late realm, you tell me where I can't get production of that, immediate production, immediate game-changing ability. I can't find that. Sometimes it's going to be hard to do that at 25 through 32. And that's why I said that's that fractional number between late first round picks just don't mean as much as top 20 picks.
You know
it's
what
that fringe number in there.
Yeah, you know what I don't understand is that people somehow saying that CeeDee Lamb will not be a productive NFL receiver because he's too small.
Well, it's all production. It's all based on predictions.
Well, yeah, I mean, but
doesn't he kind of remind you CeeDee Lamb? I mean,
He's a good route runner. He runs really good routes. He just has that nose for the ball. Like when it's a 50-50 ball, you know those guys that just go and get it?
Yeah.
He has that ability. You can't teach that.
I know, but Oklahoma has a way of...
Haven't their receivers been pretty damn good lately, though? Yeah. Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
Pretty dang good. Kind of same mold. I don't know. That's a tough one
for me. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's all guesses.
Hey, Cam, tell me. How good is he going to be? How many yards is he going to be? How many catches?
There's only one guarantee in this draft.
Isn't that wild? We all want to know it.
There's only one guarantee in this draft.
Yeah.
There's only one.
Cincinnati's going to screw it up?
No.
Oh.
No. Hell no. No, his name is Chase Young. That's the only guarantee in this draft.
Oh, so Cincinnati will screw it up by drafting Joe Burrow.
You know what I think Cincinnati would do if I had Cincinnati's pick? I would trade that first pick for a boatload. It's seven picks, eight, I don't care how many picks, over 2 to 3 years. And I would not. I would trade out of it and give it to Miami. And then I would bump back and I would say, if it's not going to be Chase Young or move around, I would take that and I would suck for Trevor. I would do that. I would try to throw it all out there do that. And I would also trade A.J. Green, get him out of there, get some big picks for him, and completely gut and rebuild and try to get there. Because there's a lot of upside, but I think Trevor Young is a better talent, and he has more upside. So if I can find a way to get Chase Young, get a great pass rusher, and trade away all my picks, get Trevor Lawrence next year, I think I'd like that strategy.
That's what the Rams did, and they went to a Super Bowl doing
tanking
that.
Advocate?
Yeah.
Not tanking. No, that's
suck
strategy.
For Trevor is
no,
not tanking?
That's tank strategy. No, that's different. Tanking means that
lose
you're in the middle
Lawrence.
Of it. That's a middle of your season and immediately quitting. This is actual strategy.
Oh, that's tanking too. These
to
things
decide
are
not
tanking's
to win ahead
predetermined.
Of the season?
Nobody said that they're going to lose. They just said that they won't.
Lose if you're going to get Trevor Lawrence.
To get the number one pick, that's what you do is you strip down the roster.
You strip it down to the point of making it suck. Hey,
that's
look,
tanking.
I'm talking from a general manager's point of view. I'm not talking from a player's point of view. I hate tanking. I think it sucks. But then there's got to be some sort of strategy. Like, the NFL is built for this way better than the NBA or Major League Baseball. The NFL is built to be able to draft. You can trade one guy away from like seven picks. You're going to do that. Are you nuts? Miami throws eight picks at you over 3 years. What are you going to do if you're Cincinnati?
Well, it worked for the Rams. Rams went to a Super Bowl.
Worked for the Cowboys.
When the Redskins gave up everything for RG3, they end up going to a Super Bowl. They did that in 2012's draft.
It got the Cowboys three Super Bowls.
And then 5 years later, they were in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Ba-boom. All right. Good questions coming in. Maybe we'll get to some more of them next, but I've got a bigger picture question for you. Could we see college football in the spring? Dusty and Cam, here's Buck. You know, it's amazing how sometimes, like, reporters that you forget about, they just start breaking news left and right. And right now, Brett McMurphy is that guy. Brett McMurphy, remember when he was at ESPN and he was, like, the go-to source for everything that was college football? Well, now he kind of disappeared. He went over to the stadium, and every day he has some sort of newsworthy article coming out about college football, the state of college football, and where it's at.
Bringing the noise.
And his most recent one, we talked yesterday about his survey of 112 athletic directors and their confidence level that games will be played. Well, coming out of that survey of 112 ADs is a little nugget in his report that there have been a non-Power 5 president that has reached out to other non-Power 5 presidents and athletic directors to talk about the feasibility of a spring football season because of the importance that football has to the revenues, not just of the athletic departments, but the universities as a whole.
Yeah.
What would you think of the college football semifinals and title game being played in May June?
I wouldn't care at all. If it helps all these universities survive, I'm all for it.
Now,
whatever options you have to explore.
Here's an interesting facet of this. Remember, a couple of years ago, we talked about this. This idea was floated out there by Group of Five presidents, ADs, and commissioners, that if the Power Five conferences kind of broke off and they got true autonomy and they played by a different set of rules and their funding was completely different and their TV deals were different, that the Group of Five is like, why wouldn't we just break it up and play on a different schedule. It would make it so we could own a part of the year in spring. And that, very similar to like the XFL and what they're trying to do. You know, it's not the NFL, but it's football and it's there. And then they could also, it would also help them in an aspect of transfers and pillaging via transfer, because guys necessarily wouldn't be able to play from May to June and then go and start right back up with another season right after that in a group of five. It would kind of help them, kind of the dam breaking and guys transferring.
Well, it comes along the same reason of saying that I too big to fail. Like I've been using that analogy back and forth of what happened in 2008 with the banks, but I keep bringing it up because here's another reiteration of why football can't stop. It can't. According to these universities, there's no way that they can function. Athletic departments are, it's just, you stop. You not only just stop, it's done. Like all of it's gone. The athletes, the jobs, everything is gone. And that goes, and there's a lot of people out there that are losing everything in these jobs, but this is college sports as we know it will be gone, all of it. And so what do you do? You have to explore every option. Wouldn't you want these people to working for some strategies in case, we don't call them contingency plans, but instead of sitting on your hands going, well, let's wait and see, coming up with some options and ideas or ways to figure out maybe to save something.
And the reason why I bring up a couple of years ago is that they've already been tinkering with how that calendar would work, right? There's already this idea of, hey, we've talked about this before. If we could move it to the spring and we could have all these games happen. Now, this wouldn't just be the group of five. This would be all of college football. So you would have the Civil War theoretically played Labor Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend. That'd be wild.
It would be.
I mean, but it'd be some, instead of Thanksgiving weekend, it'd be Memorial Day.
So we adjust and we change, and all those normals that we used to rely on and traditions, the things change. We get a gap year. We get things where, okay, let's find a way to make this work. We adjust, we move. I mean, there's gotta be a way that I'm beyond the fact is I don't want to quit on options.
Yeah, but here
I don't want to quit on it.
Here is a sticking point, though, and this is something that would need to be reiterated, is that it would not be this May. It would not be, you know, starting in 2 weeks. We're talking like the fall would be void of football if this were, and this is doomsday scenario, right? But what they're saying is they would just push it all back. And then that would be in the spring of 2021 would be what you're talking about. And this is where you kind of throw in another wrench into this. There would be a lot of rosters would be depleted, because if you're a junior with NFL prospects that heading into this year, Trevor Lawrence, great example of this, you wouldn't play next spring. You'd just go into the draft. And when would the NFL draft be if that was the case?
Yeah.
You would have a full evaluation period that would be missed. Right. They would be like, this is where you start thinking of the ripple effect of all of these things in sports and where they land is, man, March Madness would then be covered up by the start of college football season next year.
Yep. Yeah.
That's crazy to think about.
Remember I said at the beginning of the show about the bubble and the sports bubble and all, especially college is going to be the one that's going to, college is going to suffer the most here. College is going to get slaughtered.
Yes.
Because they're always relying on a consistent schedule and seasonal change. The NFL can be like, we have our own stadiums. We have our own fan bases. Major League Baseball, we have our own stadium. I mean, that also in professional sports, they own their own buildings. They own their rights. They don't have to worry as much because they can generate their own. They can make their own adjustments. They don't have to worry about thousands and thousands and thousands of different universities trying to all coordinate and whether a small school is supposed to get revenue like Portland State going and playing Arkansas, where's that revenue come? There's so many moving parts to the NCAA, not including all the other Olympic sports and the ancillary sports out there. I can't even fathom what's going to change. There's so many different things that could happen, scenarios.
How about this? So that
it's just going to get obliterated.
This text says that'd suck for two sport athletes, but we could have college games on Sunday. I mean, in the spring, you absolutely would dominate the week. Why wouldn't the Pac-12 to get a leg up on the SEC and, you know, Big Ten say we can make more money by playing on Sundays where we're not competing with the NFL? So why wouldn't we do it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's something that's feasible and realistic. 55305, some of your texts coming in on the Fan text line. We will get to them as we get you set for the day on the Fan, the lineup of what to expect today on 1080 The Fan. Hey, do you think that playing in the spring would avoid, like, the Cougs' late-season meltdown?
Only you would find that funny.
Well, no. I'm being kind of serious. Because when the weather gets bad, their offense goes to crap.
Well, that's because the weather gets bad because they throw the ball too much. Not going to happen anymore. Wait, not going to happen.
So it's a legitimate question then, isn't it?
Not going to happen. Rolovich, he's got him rolling in a different direction.
He'll be running the ball a little bit
more. He's got to find a way to beat Washington at this point. That's all you're asking.
Well, if Mike Leach can beat Washington 2 years ago, they're in the...
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
College football playoff.
Potentially.
Playoff?
They got to still win the Pac-12 championship, but yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
Playoffs?
But they'd already beaten Utah already that year, hadn't they? They did.
At that time, yeah.
It wasn't a close one.
Can't remember.
I remember, I remember listening to Alex Brink and Matt Chasnow calling that game on over on 9:10 a.m. on the way out to a
God, that feels like it was
party.
Decades ago.
My Minshew Mania.
Yeah.
Damn. What a time to be alive. Minshew Mania. Now it's in Jacksonville. What do you think of them drafting another quarterback? That's a fascinating. Yeah, remember earlier that McShay has him at 9, taking Herbert.
But the word on the street is that's the number one landing spot for Jameis Winston at this point. And that they might take the same, is say, hey, we'll kick the tires on a low, expensive former number one guy who's got his eyes redone. He had LASIK surgery, by the way, which could make a difference.
That seems like it's a buddy cop show. Jameis Winston and
Doug
Gardner Minshew in the same quarterback room.
I would watch that buddy cop show. Well, I sure would.
Please give us...
Jameis is in there eating W's and Gardner's just making fun of him and Jameis has no idea what the joke is.
We do know that's going to be Hard Knocks. I mean, that's lockdown solid.
That would be fantastic.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
If we're even lucky enough to have it. But
yeah. And then just the comedy that those two would put together, because Jameis is a pretty funny dude when you see kind of some of the stuff that he puts out there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's funny. Like he's can be kind of what the hell are you doing?
Crab legs.
Not motivational, but motivation manifests itself in a variety of ways.
Yeah.
Jameis is still trying to find that way. That Eaton W's thing is so weird. That was bizarre.
A lot of what Jameis does is weird.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, a lot of what Gardner Minshew does is weird too.
Yeah, but it's like revered by the 80s, most of it.
And then you have their coach, Doug Marrone, who's from the Bronx and has a thick New York accent and eats bologna sandwiches.
Yeah, fried bologna sandwiches.
Sign me up. I want that Hard Knocks all year long if that's where Jameis goes. Would they be any good?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're getting rid of all their really good talent.
So no, they wouldn't. Where would they fall on your?
I mean, how many times can we sit here and predict? Remember when Jacksonville was the next team after they went to the playoffs?
Yeah,
they were the next team. They were the hot pick, and who held fort and said, "You can't have a leader like that." Who would I rather have, Blake Bortles or Jameis Winston or Gardner Minshew? Yeah, they're both better than Blake Bortles. But they got to start over somewhere. Fact is, they're leaving their fans for twice to head over to London if they're lucky to even have that. Their owner is interesting. I don't know what his main goal is. I feel like it's to move the team permanently to London.
Looking cool.
Well, yeah.
Shad Khan. Great mustache.
Every current player on that roster that's a star and every guy that has left has nothing nice to say about it. So what's going on?
Is that why they drafted Gardner Minshew so that Shad Khan could have a mustache buddy?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. How much of that do you think, though, is the turnover? You went from Tom Coughlin building a roster of his kind of people, right? And then you have a more laxed a GM come in who's definitely not a Tom Coughlin guy, and you bring in a bunch of guys who are away from that, Gardner Minshew being one of them, where it's like
it's a bad mix.
You went against the grain, and now you have the collision of two personalities building rosters.
Well,
you think that has much to do with it? With the the bad talking once they leave.
Nobody's happy when they're fired. Nobody. Yeah. Nobody leaves a place and goes, oh, I'm really thankful for that. Some do, but in football, when you're cut like that, it's amazing to me how it just is. It sets a bad taste in your mouth. For some reason there's a disconnect. There's a major disconnect between the players and the front office.
Now, you've gone through head coaching changes. Were you a part of any front office changes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was there an element of that where
you bring in
different guys? Is that harder to do than a head coach change?
If you have the other instability factor is going to be, does the head coach have a little bit of say? Do they work together with the front office? Because that's not how Jay Zegmann and they worked with John Shaw with the Rams at the time with Mike Martz. Mike Martz didn't get any call. He would complain and whine. And hated it to the point where he'd throw tantrums and then finally get the guys cut and he'd sign these other people and they didn't get along. They hated each other and you could see it. It was awkward. But that relationship made it so it was just uncomfortable enough to where it was still successful.
Mm.
And there was roles. You understood that. I think it's more important to see that the head coach has to have more say nowadays. I think the head coach, it can't be where it's my way or the highway. Dictatorship of the general manager. There has to be a synergy between the two. And San Francisco, Seattle, they are setting the bar of what it's supposed to be like. Not everybody has a Bill Belichick walking around. You just don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Even Sean Payton and you look what Mickey Loomis have done. Yeah. They've done so good with each other. Mickey's withstand since I've been there. He was the one that came in with, it's going to drive me crazy. He got there in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there that long.
Yeah, he's buddies with Loomis. He used to work up in Seattle.
He kicked his teeth. Yep, he was there with the Seahawks.
And Portland State's women's basketball coach, Lynn Kennedy, great dude.
Yeah.
Great dude. He and Mickey Loomis were buddies because Coach Kennedy ran around as like a team manager for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And they were up in Seattle at the same time when he was cutting his teeth up there. Mm-hmm. He raves about Mickey Loomis, just a great dude, kind of forward thinker.
Yep.
You know? And he doesn't really get much doesn't get much credit for being the architect of that team.
I think
he does. As much as other GMs do around the league.
He doesn't take as lot of noise. He's not a guy that's a look at me. He's not thumbs out, point back at me guy. No, he's not. And he works really well with Sean Payton because Sean Payton is really demonstrative. He's full of opinions and he's super, he's tough. And that's kind of how it's a good relationship.
It's a delicate dance to tell a guy, to take a hike, but still have that person feel like their opinion is valued. And to an extent, Loomis does that with Sean Payton. And then when he has a good opinion, he gives him all the praise in the world on it and gives him a ton of credit, but make no bones about it. I mean, we've seen it. Sean Payton has been upset about some roster moves that Loomis has made that have worked out in their favor, but to Loomis's credit, he gives Sean Payton a ton of love and adoration when Payton makes a move and recommends a move that works out for them. New Orleans is a really well-run organization for all of the instability with ownership over the last handful of
years. Pretty incredible how you can go from putting bags on your heads and have that and have the only playoff appearance be that 1991 team, which was the doom. The defense legion, it was the original doomsday guys, those linebackers that were there. And then suddenly, and then magically, after Katrina, just have two people show up like a Drew Brees and Sean Payton and completely change a franchise.
Yep.
It's a great story. And that's why the Saints are one of those groups that it's a really good organization now.
It wasn't Tom Benson or now Gail
Benson.
All the children. It was Loomis and Payton. Drew Brees.
It's Drew Brees. It's Drew Brees.
Having those three, though, it takes, in the NFL, it's so weird. It takes three. You have to have the quarterback and the coach, and you have to have the GM to navigate the waters of
Seattle.
Of Payton. Absolutely.
Seattle is right there with it.
Yep. New England did it. Not anymore. New England had it. It's it's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah.
San Francisco, you look at it, they may have that recipe there. Jimmy G is the last question mark they got.
Just make a throw, Jimmy.
Not if you ask George Kittle.
No.
George Kittle's coming to his defense. I know George. And so is Rye Guy from the Bay. Hat's backwards now, bro.
George should be like, throw me the damn ball.
Backwards hat guy.
Throw me the damn ball, dude. Throw me the ball. Mm. Not enough George Kittle in the Super Bowl. Sorry. Very disappointed in that.
We have some one-upsmanship here in Rip City.
Okay.
It's a good one-upsmanship, though. Yesterday, it was announced Damian Lillard was giving $100,000 to the Portland Trailblazers COVID-19 response and relief. Mm-hmm. CJ McCollum, $170,000 to COVID response in Portland and Ohio, Canton, Ohio. Way to go. That's awesome. Look at
because he's an Ohio native.
Yeah. Positivity coming out of this. We were talking about the Patriots.
We're all going to need something.
We were talking about the Patriots. They fly their plane over to China, pay $2 million for 1.2 million N95 masks that they're bringing back over to distribute within Massachusetts and New York. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
CJ and Dame stepping up big time with their wallets. You mentioned this guy a couple times today, but Mark Cuban and all he's done.
Yeah.
That's a little dose of positivity today. I like that. And did you see what's in our hallway? I tweeted out a picture of it.
I did not.
Buddy, what do you think the street value is of the four boxes of toilet paper?
Oh, man.
Stacked. Like,
oh, man.
We're talking big time boxes.
Okay. At least I know where I'm going to drive to go to the bathroom.
The building. You should have waited to tell people till we left the building because now we're going to get get bum rushed over here.
The riots are coming.
Yeah.
Looting. Give me your toilet paper. Yeah, there's two massive boxes stacked up. And guess what? It's double ply, bro.
All right.
Double ply.
Here we go, boys.
Watch out. We got gold over here. All right. We've got get your Q&A questions racking around your brain, folks. It's Friday tomorrow. We got Q&As tomorrow coming up. It's got The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, Primetime with Isaac and Suk, then the Recruiting Show with Andrew Nemec, 7 to 8 p.m. Have a great Thursday. See you Friday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.